welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's Cup exit to Elgin City, preview this weekend's trip to Dunfermline, and we'll also get your thoughts on the Elgin game. You are, of course, listening to the Blue Team Podcast once again. I am Colin Byers. And with me, as always, is Martin Smith. Martin, how are you this week? Welcome along.
I'm very well, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Strictly's back, so that's always a good sign, you know, that the winter months are fast approaching.
Clock's another one for the change either.
That's it. So we do like a bit of Strictly. Something to look forward to on a Saturday.
Ironically, that could have been seven on Saturday.
It could have been a lot worse on Saturday as it was, but... Yeah, a bit depressing again.
Strictly wasn't that bad.
No, Strictly was quite good. Oh, right, let's talk about Strictly. It was a good start, first week, a lot of cards.
Yeah, no. Tony Adams is there, so it's keeping it football.
Tony Adams was there. I don't know if he was Dunson like, but he was certainly there. we can joke over like, but we've got to talk about Saturday's game. As we said, 4-0 it was. It could have been 6, it could have been 7, it could have quite easily have been, had it not been for Sandy Wood in goal. And that's a worrying pattern that we've mentioned already this season about how good sometimes that the goalkeeper, whether it's been Tom Ritchie or whether it was Jack Newman earlier on, this pattern seems to be repeating where we are conceding a hell of a lot of goals. And there is a worry that we are now getting out of this hole.
Yeah, and you would like to think as the games progress that you become tighter as a defensive unit. But at the moment, that doesn't seem to be coming together, to be honest. I mean, yeah, you've chopped and changed the team a few times, but your core of your team has got to be your defence. You've got to build on a platform and a defensive structure. And at the moment, we seem miles away from it. I mean, okay, I thought we were okay against Kilty. It was kind of was players who were there last season. You could understand why that happened. They were, you know, they played together before. But some of the defending this season, it really has been poor. And hey, I mean, credit to Elgin that they did what they had to do on Saturday. But they're not exactly sitting the heather light in League Two either. So for them to come to us and basically turn us over and we're in patch, that's basically what they've done. That is worrying.
That's the thing, they're sitting third bottom League Two at the minute, only one win this season, a lot of draws as we mentioned last week, so you would have thought that there would have been a bit of we were trying to build on last week's win, try to get that momentum going, but certainly it wasn't the case. And if you were looking at it as a neutral, to look at that two teams and you say, like, which one's League One, which one's League Two, you'd be probably picking Elgin as a League One side.
I felt that last week it was a perfect tonic. We got the win. Obviously, played over half the game with 10 men. But I thought it was a platform that we could go and build on. And I said to you last week that, you know, if you lose a game against Elgin, your perspective is completely different. And the defeat itself, the way we played on Saturday. And then, obviously, as we're touching later on the show, you go away to Dunfermline. And then your season just, it looks a lot worse now. Okay, folk will say they're now worried about Cup and Biden in the league. But you've just been turned over 4-0 at home against a very average or below average League Two side. And I think that's where the worry comes in. You know, I think you see with the social media comments at the weekend as well. And a lot of folk kind of mince their words, and quite rightly so. They pay good money and to see that sort of performance. I came Jordan Brown's been in the press this morning as well, saying that he's not happy, that the team shouldn't be happy, and rightly so, because fit they served up on Saturday, you know, falls well short of it, you know, they'd be expecting to perform it.
Yeah, it was such a drop off from the week before. It was quite worrying, the fact that, you know, as I've said, a League Two side come up, not playing particularly well, not exactly scoring goals either, can come up and comfortably win the game. And to say that it could have been 6 or 7 and nobody would have butted an eyelid, wouldn't it be an understatement?
No, absolutely. And I think the worrying thing is the way the result happened. Supporters will understand it. your team will lose. But if you put in the effort, supporters come away from a game and say, Kenfoot were unlucky, it was an hour day. Like I said, the way that Saturday happened, the way it unfolded, just the general, you know, defensive errors and, you know, errors throughout the team. It's not just the defenders, you defend for the fun. I think, for me personally, I think Saturday's game was a lot more worrying than some people might want to think it is. A lot of them might say, oh, okay, if it's a cup, we're not winning the Cup. League One survival. If you kind of beat a League Two side at home, you beat 4-0, that sort of tells you where your season's at. I mean, we've beaten a pretty poor Kelty team. It's not like they were flying top of the league and we take it over the course of the season and include that performance on Saturday. I can see why folk are concerned.
I mean, if we'd lost the game 1-0, dodgy penalty or something like that, or it was a last minute winner, or we lost it in penalty or something like that, and there was a performance there, you could maybe say, well, okay, we can move on for that. But it's the manner of the defeat. It's just that it's so frustrating, it's so disappointing. You just sort of feel as though that you're coming away for that game just so downhearted and worried that how the season is going to go. I'm loath to use the word crisis, but we are heading towards that in terms of our performances and results.
Yeah, like I said, supporters will accept getting beat, but they want to accept performances like that we got on Saturday. Now, we've had a couple of games this season where you've been decent for 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. I say decent, I'm using the term pretty loosely to be fair. But there's in the game, there is spells where you are playing well. Saturday, there was nothing to it. And yeah, okay, it's a cup game, but it's a League Two side. I keep going back to it, but that's a League Two side. And if you're struggling to beat them, then, as you said, I mean, we spoke about with October fixtures the other day as well. It doesn't get any easier. I am worried.
And folk will say, yes, okay, it is a cup game, but there is a potential for the club to make money off of that, off of a cup run. Yeah. Yes, okay, it's the SBFL Trust Trophy and whatnot, but that will still bring in extra revenue for the club. So to lose it in such a manner, it is disappointing. But I keep going back to it, but it is really, really, it is worrying, it is frustrating with the players that were playing. You know, Jim's comments after the game, saying things like it was an unacceptable defeat, and I take part in that. It's not the first time you said that this season already,
exactly.
And we're only in September.
Yeah, and I mean, not only was it would have been good financially for the club, but if you put another win and a decent performance, that confidence, as we've said numerous times as well, confidence within a football club breeds, and you know you'll get results. But yeah, as you said, as twice now this season, Jim has said he'll take the criticism for it. I mean, how many times is he going to come out once a month and say, I'll take the flat for that? I mean, the players have got to take responsibility as well. This is not just at Jim and Davies' door. This has been building for a wee while. And was I that surprised with the result and the performance on Saturday? Probably not, because there's been certain games that things have just been papering over the cracks. But we've got one of the biggest teams in League One. There's potential of mere players coming in. I don't think constantly adding mere and mere players into the squad's going to help. We need to work with the players that we've got to try and sort out what we're doing. And I think changing the team week in, week out helps either. Okay, there's certain reasons why players will drop in and drop out. But yeah, just in the moment, we're not far from crisis, but we must be pretty darn close to it.
I did worry that going to the game on Saturday, that you know, if we did lose the game or not perform well or didn't get the result that we were looking for, there would be a bit of a backlash, because it is a League Two side, because it is Elgin, and we always beat Elgin. We never get beat by Elgin. And to then lose to Elgin 4-0 is just so unheard of as well.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised by the comments on social media. I mean, it's the comments that you see are the comments that, you know, people have been going to the games. They pay their money to go and see it. And, you know, to be shown that they were on Saturday, I can understand exactly why there's fans' frustration. I really can.
I'm just going to get into the comments because we might as well get them in, because we are kind of struggling a little bit to not sound as though we're being too negative or sound as though we're repeating ourselves. So we'll get some of these guys' words in. George Buchan, abysmal effort. Elgin Farr, better team. Could have been more if it had been for the saves of Sandy Wood. And that's been mentioned a few times, that I think it was Ryan Strachan that got the man of the match, but Sandy was a lot of people's picks for it. And when you're asking your goalkeeper to be producing the saves that he did throughout the game, you are struggling a little bit.
And I think if ever a sentence made you worry about a club, you've lost 4-0 at home, your goalkeeper should be man of the match.
Yes.
That to me should be alarm bells ringing loud and clear that there is a problem somewhere, whether you're not defending for the fun, whether you're not... you haven't got your shape right, or something's gone wrong somewhere. If people are saying on social media that your goalkeeper should be man of the match in a 4-0 home defeat, that is a worry.
Scott Reid, miles off, it never looked like we were in it. And, you know, you could say that Elgin themselves probably didn't have to do too much. I know some will say, well, they were hitting us in the counter-attack, but that was their game plan. Come up, frustrate us. Didn't have to do too much throughout the game, and they looked at the better side.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously done their research, their homework, and noticed that we will struggle to break teams too. You could almost predict, if it was going to happen, that Elgin would come up. They wouldn't, you know, based on their form as well, they were going to come gung-ho, they were going to sit back, be compact, hit us on a break, but then we'd nothing to offer going forward. So I can see why Elgin did it, and they got the reward for it.
Wayne Simpson, Elgin keeper had a few good saves at 1-0, but once it was 2-0, Peterhead never looked like in a game at all. One up front doesn't work, just long, hopeful balls up straight to the defender or the keeper. The lad Prince in the Dixon struggled first half in midfield. A couple of things there, obviously, that their keeper did have a couple of good saves, two or three really good saves in the first half. And we talk about, you mentioned earlier, spells through the game. I think that was a 5-10 minute spell where we did look as though we might have produced something, but after that there was nothing there. And I think as well Jim had said after that he's a drop, but there was almost like an acceptance that we weren't getting the hang out of the game.
Yeah, that's a concern. Obviously being 2-0 doing it is never good, but if there's players in the team that have got that acceptance, that will brush off on players really, really quick. If that's the attitude and you've got guys coming in and I've been there long, and the attitude is, well, we've basically lost the game. That mentality is our run, and even to the point of, if that's the attitude, if you've got 27, 28 players, sorry, but you wouldn't be involved in the squad.
He mentions Prince and Dixon, they were hooked at half-time. We've mentioned Dixon, I don't know how many times so far this season about his performances. There are one or two others that are you know, vocally saying that he's nae bringing what he should be in terms of his experience and the level of performances. You know, he gave away he gave away the ball for the second goal. In fact, I wouldn't even say he gave the ball. He was waiting for the ball to come to him, and the Elgin guy just nipped in and took it off him. And there's somebody else who'll mention in a comment later on that he's costing us, or he's given the opposition a goal start essentially over the game.
Yeah, without being a broken record, it's a sign and it's not worked out. But I don't again think he's got to take a seat on the bench or just say, look, it's not quite working, let's just say a couple of weeks off. Like I said, if you've got that big a squad and Paul Dixon's still playing, again, that's potentially a worry as well. To me, yeah, he came out. You'd have liked to think you'd have offered Mayer. I'm sure he's disappointed. I'm sure Jim's disappointed the way it's working out. But at the moment, that is just a sign and it really hasn't worked out.
Peter Bruce, the only thought I have is probably one of the poorest performances I've seen by a Blue Toon team. Peter's obviously been watching Peter for a lot longer than we have, so that's quite a scathing comment there. I'm sure there probably has been other Peterhead teams that have been worse, but the feeling is that what we're watching at the minute is a lot further away from the performances and the play that we were playing last season.
Oh, it's night and day between this season and last season. Last season, even if we were going through a bad period, you know, December, January, February, we weren't getting the results, but you always felt performances weren't that too far away from it. Now you feel if you go a goal down at any point in the game, you feel like you're going to struggle to get back. And I look at that PRE team and it doesn't scream out goals to me. There's a comment just earlier on that one up front doesn't work. And yeah, I agree with that. We've mentioned before the strikers are too isolated. I wonder if an attacking midfielder coming in that, you know, somebody to play behind the striker. And for whatever reason, Jim likes the one up top. It maybe worked when we had Rusty, but Rusty's in the team, and if we need to adapt it, we should. But at the moment, we're far too easy to play against.
Yeah. I know that a lot of folk are saying, well, we're missing key players. We're missing McCarthy. We're missing Richie. We're missing Rusty. We've got these guys that are waiting for work permits or whatever it is that they're waiting for. But can you honestly say, let's say Rusty's back, can you honestly say if he is back in the starting 11, can he himself, and because we're only adding him into the team, can he himself turn this this round? I don't think he can do it on his own.
No, he can't, because the service interim isn't the quality of service from last season to this season isn't there. So even if you have got Rusty playing up top on his own, and as you said, it's only adding one player, I don't think the level of quality and service to him is there for last season.
And as you said earlier, we keep adding more players. We're up to 27. There's a possibility of another midfielder coming in, a Frenchman. It's another player have been added, another player have been added. So is Jim, I wouldn't say, is he admitting maybe that the players that he brought in initially at the start of the season haven't been good enough, and therefore he has to keep looking for better and better and better? Or is it a case of that he's just sort of taking anything that's there?
Probably a bit of both. I can the players departing and then the players coming in before the Premier Sports Cup, it was a challenge to get a team, you know, together and available to play. So there maybe is players now with hindsight that you would think just isn't quite worked out. But then that's up to the players to then, personal pride. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been told I'm not good enough. I've only been here 2 months. I should be stepping up my game. And there are certain players you look at and go, do you have the character to, when the chips are doing like they are now, to drag yourself up and through it? Mm-hmm. I look at that squad and on one hand you could say, yeah, he's a player that maybe could do it. But I look on the other side of it and go, I just don't think you've got that mental toughness to try and get you through. There's experienced players in the team. And you're looking for them to drive you through it. And tough runs come in football clubs. At the moment, it's really difficult to try and find a positive on the back of it we've seen on Saturday.
But I look at the team selection on Saturday as well. So you can, we can say, well, maybe the players aren't the performing, but there's a few that are still being played out of position. Phrase you like to use is round holes, square pegs.
Yeah.
So you look at Gillis, for example, being phenomenal at right wing back. Forrest obviously got injured and is back in the team, played in centre midfield. Dixon, we mentioned last week, playing left wing. He played left wing again today. Prince, he was out in the right wing. Maybe Ney isn't in his natural position. I don't think he's fit enough yet either to be starting games, and I think that maybe showed as well. So it's okay bringing on any of these different players, but you've got to be playing them in positions that they're comfortable with and know that they're going to perform in those positions. I mean, even O'Keefe played up front on his own. Maybe Ney has natural position. So, you know, you look at the bench, why is Scully and Ney playing in midfield? Why is Jordan getting a game? Can Yeah. Kazuka was just coming back for a bit of injury, maybe just saving him for the league games, but play him as well. So these are kind of questions that we should maybe be looking at and saying, well, we've got all these players, but we're not playing them in position. I mean, Danny Sarkin, for example, again, come off the bench on Saturday and he played in midfield. But at least he showed a little bit of desire and wanting to go forward and try and turn things around, even though we're 3-0 doing it at the time. And he's trying his best to turn things around. But he's been playing in central midfield. He is a right back.
Yeah, Jim has said twice now this season that he takes the responsibility. Now, once the player step on that white line, Jim is pretty much, he can't do much more than what he's done in the lead up to the game. It's up to the players to perform. So the only thing from my point of view is, if we've got a 27-man squad and we're playing a right back in midfield and a left back and a centre back and Paul Dixon on the left wing, then why are we in this situation? Mm. Fair enough if you're a manager that came in the summer. He isn't. He's been here for over 10 years. It is completely his team. And yes, you'll turn around and say maybe a few signings and I worked out. But if we're still, as the expression goes, square pegs, round holes, etc., then that's my worry, that we haven't got, within that 27 players, you haven't got an 11 that's to be able to play in a natural position to give you a competent team, then that's my worry.
I know that Hefzal's obviously missing as well, because he was away in international duty. And that's the risk you run of when you sign these African players, because they have slightly different international windows than everybody else. But again, he's one man, and I know he's based on the one performance that we've seen from him so far. He is a cut above everybody else, but we can't be relying on him just to come in and start turning things around. As you said, it's a team game. It's all over the park. He can only do so much, and I worry that his performances will start to teams will pick him up pretty quickly. So instead of having maybe one man on him, he might have two men on him, he might have three men on him, and he'll get, bullied out of a game fairly easily. So, you know, again, all these kind of players that's coming in are waiting to come back. Yes, it's good to maybe have them come back, but that only makes up 3, 4, 5 players within that 11.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt in that if you've got a Russell McLean, Hazala coming back, you then got Andy McCarthy to come back, players playing in a more natural role as well, then it's a better team on paper than we've currently got. But again, it is, as we said, 3, 4 players going to make... Yeah, I mean, it is a team game. They would make a difference. I'm sure it would be a positive impact. But, you know, we're still at least a couple of weeks for that happening. You know, let's say it's end of October, it's another 6 games that you've gone through. Jim Ivey's likes to say 9 points for the quarters. Well, we're miles away for that, really, in terms of if there are 2 quarters, then 18 points. So, I mean, there are players that would improve this. But like I said, if you've got a 27, 28-man squad, you should be able to make changes and it may be that big a negative impact. But it seems that we'll make changes and it's detrimental to our side.
Keith Leslie mentions Simon Ferry and being there and how big a loss he seems to be. And I think Ferry and Scott Brown, Ryan Conroy to a point as well, Derek Lyle maybe as well, you could maybe throw his name in. These experienced guys that were there last season, I don't think they would be accepting these kind of performances for this team. And that's something that we're maybe listening, just somebody to rile up these guys a little bit. You'd expect that maybe for the captain, but I don't know, Ken, if that's happening. But certainly you would know that Simon Ferry would be unhappy because you would hear him. Scott maybe would do things a little bit differently, maybe a little bit more privately. And Conroy, again, somebody that's quite passionate about the things as well and will speak up if need be, and we're maybe lacking somebody to say, right, this isn't good enough. Okay, it's fair to say that a lot of young players are playing in the team, But at some point, these guys are going to have to step up, and somebody needs to take him by the neck and say, look, these performances aren't good enough.
Well, we came, Simon, did a lot of talk in the pitch last season. We came that, you know, that Scott Brown had the team meetings. You know, I think there was twice he did it last season, that he had the team meetings to say that things weren't quite working out. You said there about the young players in the team. Jim and Davey, they're not youngsters. They came the way this goes. They've been around, they've seen it, they've done it. Are they the ones at training that's, you know, taking the bull by the horns? I mean, Jason Brown, he's a passionate lad. He doesn't mince his words either. I'm sure he's said a few things in training or even in the dressing room. As you mentioned, you'd expect that to be a captain. Paul Dixon, like I said, it's not quite worked too. But if you're looking for something, there's been a few comments this season about lack of communication on the pitch, or they're just not seeming to be vocal enough. And I think that's probably part of our problem, that when things aren't quite going well, we just seem to shrink into our shell. Nobody wants to take ownership, you know, and drag players through a game. And that's probably, you're missing that sort of characters in the squad.
Jason mentions it. Jason Brown, obviously. Jason A. Mentions that the team had no shape, no physicality, and we started the game at 4-1-4-1, and then for some reason when we went to 1-0 down, we went back to the back five. Ryan Strachan went back into the defence, and you know, he started off as the holding midfielder. Then I think Gillis was it. I think at one point Scullion was there as well. So I think 3-4-5 maybe different folk were playing that sort of holding role. And Sid Tyson mentions about the tactics as well, because I think at one point second half there was a bit of confusion as to, you know, who was playing where. They were looking at the bench. They didn't seem to know what was going on. And that's another worry, that instructions maybe aren't getting put across right or strongly enough, and people aren't really sure where they should be playing.
Yeah, that to me is, if a message isn't getting passed across properly, that comes in the your management team. No one person is a team. That instruction's got to be clear and gone across. Whether it's done before the game or whether there's a in-game change and you need that message across. If you're passing it on and it's not getting dealt with properly, you need to make sure it's been dealt with. And as you said, there's 3 or 4 or 5 players playing that role on Saturday. That doesn't help, because you're maybe playing it for 10 minutes and you're asked to do something else. Right, who am I now picking up? What position am I meant to be doing? And as the game goes on, you try and change your shape and you try and change personnel and try and, you know, make a positive impact. But hey, 4 players potentially playing a holding role, to me, you'll never get anywhere being that chopping and changing as much.
The first two goals, I mean, the first one's a terrific strike for the edge of the box. I mean, there's nothing, nobody could really deal with that. And the second goal, as we mentioned, was a mistake for Dixon. So, you know, you're 2-0 down from a potential goal of the season from Felgen's point of view, and another individual error. And that picture 2-0 doing, you know, sort of midway through the first half without them really doing too much. And when you're at the stage where, you know, you're 2-0 doing with a blink of an eye early on at home, we've mentioned numerous times about, you know, nae conceding early, and that's exactly what we've done there through a bit of a wonder goal. But nae clearing the corner in the first place to get rid of it.
A key 3 words you said there, another individual error. Mm. I mean, you could probably write a whole podcast on just how many times I've mentioned an individual error. And yes, individuals will make errors, but you then look at the footage and go, right, what did we do wrong and what can we do to improve so we didn't let that happen again? Now, in that sense, you would never concede a goal because you can outstop every cross, every header and footback. But if you're making the same repeated mistakes, then that in itself is a problem. And I don't know how many times we can say another individual error. Folks will say it's easy for us sitting here, we're not the games playing it. But these are the, you know, these aren't the guys that are just out of school playing in the back line, Andy McDonald, Paul Dixon, Jason Brown, experienced guys. But I'm sure they are disappointed with the performance as well. It's not just a case of berating and they're coming off the pitch saying, oh, I thought we did okay. you know, Jordan Brown's been in the press, John McAnally's been in the press, and they've clearly said it's not good enough. So now you're hoping to get that reaction. So you take all the disappointment that you've had on Saturday, and that frustration and feeling they've got now, they need to channel it in the right. How do we then go at the game on Saturday against Dunfermline? Well, everybody will expect Petrie to get beat, probably well beaten based on what they've seen on Saturday. But it's up to that player to show, as I said earlier, the character and how they challenge, you know, that challenge that they're feeling now, but in a positive, because that's the only thing you can do. When you've got a result and performance like you did on Saturday, you feel it can't get any worse. So we've now got to turn it into a positive.
One other comment that I mentioned, comments for Christopher Bruce, might be a controversial one, but it's there. He's saying, sorry, but it's Jim's time is up. We need a new man with fresh ideas. It's abysmal. I think we're getting to the stage now where there's a few more of those comments coming in. It wasn't just maybe the one or two last season who would have had Jim out regardless of how well we were doing or not doing. But what I did note was the ones who would normally be quite, you know, staunch supporters of Jim were pretty quiet after Saturday's game, in terms of you normally say, well, we've got this was good, or that was good, and that wasn't really coming through. So I don't know if they've been deliberately quiet because they're starting to think maybe there's a change is needed, or maybe just they've decided that no, I'll not bother mentioning. But there seems to be more of those kind of, well, it's yes, okay, he's done a good job, but it's time to get fresh ideas in. And that's maybe what we're looking for. Maybe if he can come up with fresh ideas and fresh perspective of things, you know, he can maybe suit the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a changing of fans' opinions. Some are more vocal than others about it. Fresh ideas is good. I just need to say that Jim can't come up with those ideas. I don't think you can ever label him as being, not willing to change, because evidently we've seen that he will change things when he feels he wants to. I think Simon Ferrie did a lot more than people realise at the time. And as you said earlier, with Ryan Conroy, Dell, Scott Brown, then you've got such a big change. It's a big change for everyone. And I think at the moment everybody's struggling, and I get why fans are frustrated, and I get why fans are saying that it's time for a change.
And if it continues, obviously what will happen is fans will then start to use a cliched phrase, but will speak with their feet in terms of they're not going to go to these home games. You know, we'll see the attendances dip in, and if it's not for, you know, big away supports, then maybe that figure goes below 550. It goes below 5. You know, you're then hitting around about 450, and that then becomes another sort of negative on it, because you and somebody had mentioned it at some point on Saturday that, you know, the players look to the fans for a bit of support, but on this, the same side, we need a bit of something to get excited about. And we just haven't been seeing that recently.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle of you need the team to perform to give them something to cheer about, but at the same time, you need to be that support for the players. I get that, but there is also a level of, when you watch a performance go, well, you feel that they're giving you absolutely nothing to cheer about. I mean, yeah, there's the odd comment here and there that you hear about, but by and large, it is positives coming for the stands. But if you're 3-0 doing against Elgin, you can understand why there's not that positivity coming for the stands.
And the thing is, as well, you're sort of walking into these games, and I speak to somebody before the game on Saturday, and they were worried about, you know, Elgin turning up and winning the game. And that's, no, that comes from all these results that we've been getting. You know, you're not being as optimistic as maybe you should be. Now, if you go into a game being optimistic, yes, you'll be up for it. You'll be, you know, banging on the advertising holdings and trying to make as much noise as you can. But if you're coming to a game thinking, I'm quite worried about Essien actually, and that maybe then feeds onto the players a little bit. But as you said, there's nothing really is getting us going too much. I mean, the young loons that's behind the goal again, second game in a row. I mean, they should be applauded for sticking it out for about near the hell game, right enough, because the vast majority of not just them, but a lot of the supporters had left by the time that the fourth goal had gone in. But at least, you know, they're trying, and you know, give them props for Dean at for the second game in a row.
Yeah, credit to them. They make a good bit of noise, to be fair. You'd have thought that the result against Kilty would have given them something to build on. I think it was a good strike for the first team, and then the defensive mistake. So if you're 2-0 down to a lower league side, that's when you sort of feel, well, what are we actually getting in return for the support that you're giving them? And like I said, it's that vicious cycle of need the team performing for you, give them something to cheer about and bloody blah. But that is, I think that's a point where the fans are looking for something for the team. Now, you take into consideration the Premier Sports Cup, the way we've started the season, and there's been some, you know, pretty poor results in that run as well. It's difficult to try and get yourself up for games. And, you know, it's difficult, I'd imagine, for the players as well. I mean, they don't like getting beat. We came back. But it's, like I said, it's trying to find that character within the squad that's got to bring you through that poor run.
So where do we go to here? I mean, we've got 6 games coming up in October. At the minute, we know we've played 12 overall. We've conceded 36. You know, we're averaging 3 goals a game. We're conceding, and we've only scored 6 in those 12. So we're scoring, you know, less than a goal a game. You know, and I said that we've got 6 games coming up. You know, Dunfermline's the next one. You know, you worry that by the time you've maybe played Falkirk or you've played Queen of the South mid-October, we could be 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe even more points behind.
Yeah, October's games are pretty horrendous. You've got Edinburgh and you've got Queen's either side of the Falkirk game as well. So it doesn't get any easier. But this is maybe you try to pick a positive for it is, most people with the club, maybe some people within the club as well, would say you are hardly going to get any points out of that run of fixtures. And we've spoken before, sometimes you just need a freak result to go your way, give them something to, you know, get their teeth stuck into it. But the way Saturday happened, the performance, yeah, it's pretty shocking. But it might be the catalyst to go to Dunfermline and actually say, no, we are a team that can perform and this is what we are capable of. That is what you're looking. That's for the outcome of Saturday needs to be, that you put Saturday behind you, but you learn from it. There's no point in just putting it to bed and saying, "Well, don't worry about it." You need to learn from it and then build on how you can improve for Saturday.
We've got 3 at home, 3 away. The 3 at home: Falkirk, Alloa, and FC Edinburgh at the end of October. So, you know, those are. You look at them, even the way Alloa's playing at the minute, they're riding high up at the top end. FC Edinburgh can be a bit hit and miss. Falkirk, you know, they should be up at the top end as well. So, and then away games, Dunfermline, FC Edinburgh, Queen of the South. You know, it's probably the worst run of fixtures that we could have probably have gotten because of the in this run that we're at. You know, maybe if we chucked in a Kelty or a Clyde or something like that, just to maybe break up that momentum a little bit. But, you know, it's a massive, massive month for us here.
Yeah, it's really, really important. And as you say, we could be cut adrift by quite a bit, you know, come the end of October, and that's a worry.
So let's just go into the Dunfermline game then. Let's have a look at that. Let's see if we can be positive, try and get anything out with this at all. Because I think, as you said, Mace Folk will be looking at this game, top against bottom. A team that's scoring goals against a team that's not scoring goals.
Yeah, Dunfermline are in full flow in terms of scoring goals. As you said, we're shipping them at a rate of 3 per game. If you were a betting man, you would stick on Dunfermline to win, but it was a funny old game. I'm really clutching at straws trying to think of positives, but you know, you've got to start somewhere, and also Dunfermline away is not an ideal game, but hey, do Dunfermline have a bit of complacency? They're going to come up against a PRD team that's just shipped forward to Elgin. They might think it's going to be a walk in the park. If the players have got that mental attitude to turn around and say, well, you can't think, no, we can be. Obviously, Jordan and Jim's been in the press saying it's unacceptable. As a player reading that, you'd be thinking, well, either a part to play in that, I've got to improve. But I'll be interested to see if a team starts the game on Saturday. I think that'll be key as well.
And if you are a betting man, we're 9-1 to win the game. So, I mean, that's quite a long odds for a League One game. So, nobody's given us much hope for this game at all. And as you said, maybe that will be playing to our hands slightly in terms of, you know, maybe Dunfermline will be a bit complacent. But I'm pretty sure James McPate will have them well drilled.
Oh yeah, aye. He wouldn't be thinking. I mean, he's come up against Peter Reid when we were good last season at times, and you know, putting good performances. So he's aware of what Peter Reid can do. Obviously, completely different team now, but he'll be wanting that mindset with his Dunfermline players to be. You know, they're expected to basically win the league, in my opinion. So I think he wouldn't be settling for anything in less than a win on Saturday. But like I said, I think the team selection for Jim will be key as well, because you know, one of his comments that he made in the press was some players, you know, have almost accepted that they've lost their place or, you know, their enthusiasm in the team. I think that could be pretty telling by the team that starts on Saturday.
Yeah, well, he's already said that Dow will be back, he'll be played. We'd hope that Hafsala will be available again after missing the last two, so you'd think he would start as well. So those are obviously two that will come in. As I said, it just depends on what he wants to do. Defensively, does he go with the 4-1-4-1 again? Does he maybe go like we'll go five at the back, try and keep them really quiet? But
the only worry I've got with playing five at the back is you invite pressure for the word goal. I understand it at times, but to me, to set up, hey, he might feel that it's damage limitation already. But to me, with that mindset, whether you lose 1-0 or 4-0, okay, there's a way to go about it. But I just think if you set up with a 5-4-1, you're just asking Dunfermline to say, right, come on. And it's not like we're defensively pretty solid and hardly conceding any goals and just not scoring. We're conceding at an alarming rate. So is this the time where you go two up top? Dunfermline going to be expecting it. You go two up top. You start on the front foot and give them something to think about. I really wouldn't be... Certainly wouldn't be happy if I'd seen the team lines and realised that we're playing five at the back.
And they've only conceded two in the league so far as well in the 9 games. So it's nice though that they're leaking goals as well. They're pretty compact at the back as well. And when we aren't we're only scoring sorry half a goal a game so far this season on average. It really does set up to be, you know, a stick on home win. But you know, as we said, it was a funny game, and you know, never know, we could win that scene 2-0.
Like, as we've mentioned, we're 9-1 to win. We've conceded 36 goals. Dunfermline's only conceded 2. So, fit is the odds on Peter Reid to win 1-0. Now that we've said it, you never know.
Yeah.
You'll remind me of this when we're 2-0 doing within 10 minutes on Saturday. But there's got to be a turning point at some point. But I'm pretty sure that the players, seeing the reaction on Saturday on the social media stuff, I would be very surprised if there wasn't a reaction of some sort.
Well, you'd like to think there would be a reaction, a positive one at that, and you know, they've got a week to prepare for it. But to be honest, we're not holding much hope for this game at all. Maybe it's one of those ones that we just say we write off straight away and just forget. We concentrate on the Edinburgh game, the Falkirk games at home, for the rest of the month?
To an extent, yeah. You probably look at it and go right off, but based on what they served up on Saturday, I think it would be, you know, pretty poor to just try and pass off as being, oh, it's a game that we're not going to get anything from, because there's been games this season that we haven't really been in and we've been beaten. There's only so many games in a season. You can't just keep saying, I mean, do you go away to Falkirk and go, well, write this one off? Away to Queens, yeah, go, well, we'll just write this one off as well. And then you've written off half a season. And it puts so much pressure on your other games, which is why a performance like that they got on Saturday doesn't really help the long-term cause.
Yeah, as I said, you look at their squad, Todorov's top goal scorer, but you look at the players that they've got. Mochre is there as well. Lewis McCann's there as well. So, you know, it wouldn't be just be a case of looking out for one man. There are two or three different match winners that they've got within their squad.
Yeah, the firm's got a good bit of quality in their squad now. They've recruited well. And as you said, it's not just one person we've got to keep an eye on. It's, you know, three or four in that attacking areas. It's going to be a really difficult afternoon. It's going to probably, as much as I don't want it being 5-4-1, I think it will be a backs against the wall sort of situation.
And if we come away with there, you know, with a loss, but if it's a loss, maybe 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that, you're not accepting defeats, but accepting a defeat with a much better performance is maybe what I'm saying.
Oh, the performance has got to be by night and day if it was up and down. Like I said, fans will understand a defeat if the performance is there. If you're involved in games and things just for one reason or another have gone your way, but if you put in a really abject performance and you get the heavy scoreline to go with it, that's when, and in my opinion, rightly so, fans start questioning the team and those, you know, in charge from top to bottom. But Saturday is the perfect chance. An away game, I'd imagine a really good crowd, right, on Fernley's point of view as well. Credit to anybody if they go do it for Peterhead, based on the scene on Saturday, the travel down, the players need to get a reaction.
And based on the ticket price as well, £20 for an away ticket is, for League One.
How much?
£20.
In League One?
In League One, it's quite a steep price for that, like.
That's hefty. I thought Edinburgh were bad the other week and we seen it was £18 for a game. £20? My word. Oh, the pies are still good at Dunfermline.
I was about to say, they did realise that there is a cost of living crisis and the pound is bombed so much. So, I mean, £20 is nothing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But that even more so, if you've got fans that have been doing, they're paying that ticket price, they're paying for the travel doing as well. You know, you need to give the fans something to cheer about.
Okay, so now we are going to get a Dunfermline point of view from Dunfermline supporter Michael Wood from That's Never 10 Yards. Michael, welcome to the Blue Team podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Colin.
No, not a problem at all. You guys must have fallen in love with your team again, riding high in League One.
I mean, yes, I know as a Dunfermline fan, you always have that kind of inner pessimism about you, especially being in League One again for the second time in seven seasons with us. But I think happy without being ecstatic, as we had put it. The at home, we've only scored four goals across five games. In the league, we've only scored two or more on two occasions, and one that was against 10-man FC Edinburgh, not Edinburgh City anymore, of course. So I think there's a building blocks in place for this to be a potentially positive season and go straight back up, but it needs to be more in the attack, at defence. I think a lot of teams have come away seeing they'll not maybe get too many opportunities against Dunfermline, but they'll not be much at their end either. So I wouldn't be surprised if, even if Dunfermline come away with a decent win on Saturday, a lot of Peterhead fans will be saying they're still there for the taking. And I think a lot of teams, especially in the Jesuit peak, even when he's at Dundee, would have said the same, as like, they're okay, they're decent on the ball, but they've not got that kind of killer instinct that maybe take them too far, especially if they go back up to the Championship.
When you got relegated, and I think a lot of people would have had Dunfermline doing his favourites to come back up again, did you guys feel that a little bit extra pressure to, you know, come up straight away again? You know, you look at teams like Falkirk or even like Alba, a couple of seasons now they've been in League One. It's tough to get out of League One. So have you felt that kind of pressure?
Yeah, I think that's possibly the case. I mean, a lot of this team are still the remnants of the team that did go down as well. Some of the younger boys didn't get a chance some of the more experienced had kind of moved on. Even some of the better players like Dom Thomas, who was fantastic when he played last season, has moved on to Queen's Park. Even Stephen Lawless, who was only with us for a spell, went back up to Partick Thistle. So, I mean, there was obviously, this was a team potentially we thought last season that were going to trouble the playoffs. Peter Grant had aspirations for winning the title as much as he kind of had ideas above the station. It was quite rightfully jogged on. But I think that's maybe the nice thing about having James McPeak now. It's a lot of feet on the ground, no head in the sky aspirations. He always kind of gives it a one game at a time. He doesn't give too many headlines like Grant or Hughes. So I think there is a nice kind of realistic ambition for this team. I think a lot of Pars fans were worried about Falkirk this season because they brought McGlynn. We lost Cole Donaldson, who was on loan for us last season. He went to Falkirk on a permanent, obviously that connection with McGlynn through his time at Livingston. So I think it was, we need to go up by any means necessary. Now I think, well, the league has kind of settled down. We've got games coming up against obviously yourselves and Clyde to come as well to kind of complete the set. I think it is kind of a title of boss now because while Dunfermline aren't great themselves, I think you've seen it with our team in the league. There is not much in terms of real standout quality within the division, especially the full-time outfits as well. So I think now the pressure has to be on us to go and win the title because nothing else. I don't think James McPeak, he probably knows himself, he'll not be here for the next season if he's if he doesn't get us back up.
Were you pleasantly surprised you got James in as manager?
I think I thought it was a decent appointment. Just from the standpoint was this is a guy who has got title experience. He has took teams up, even if it was Dundee. He's had that wee kind of spell in the Premiership and then got unceremoniously sacked by Martin McGee and obviously they didn't improve any shakes for it either. I think a lot of fans are kind of umming and ahhing about it, but then I think that's potentially because of some of the names that have come before us. Not that we're necessarily going to get a big name, but it was just, is this just going to be another guy where they kind of take a punt on where they could add? I think Peter Montrose would be obviously a fan favourite for the club. Spent a decade with Dunfermline in the 90s and the early 2000s. I think if he came in and the way he's done well with Montrose getting him from the bottom of League 2 obviously to stabilise in League 1, it's been very impressive. And that maybe been the more maybe the romantic and a lot of people were going after him. Whereas you know, when James McPeak came in, I think it's easy to talk a good game, but I think he's backing up with Mars on the field, and while it's not been scintillating to watch yet, I do believe there is still enough, and the fact that he has gone from an early stage of saying we need to be more clinical in front of goals, he knows where the problem lies, and it's not in the defence, it's in the attack, but it's also can he coach these players, because I believe there is the talent in midfield to give the strikers enough firepower up top, and you've got Kevin O'Hara, who did tremendously well with Alloa in his one season down here. Craig Wines, I mean, he's potentially done it for in spells in the Premiership and did well with her both. Lewis McCann's coming into the game. So there is the strikers up top to facilitate all these kind of individualistic playmakers in the midfield. They just need to kind of be knitted together. But and it's still early days. I mean, you consider the fact that the only day, game Dunfermline have lost was to Ross County in the league top early doors, a game which they dominated. They just didn't have that killer instinct. I think there is a nice kind of wee settling in period for us. It's just kind of going for the next month or so. I think this month's going to be critical to the Dunfermline's title aspirations, and if it's a kind of solid month, pick up double-digit points, I think they'll be there or thereabouts coming into the season.
Is this potentially a game where you know you're going to be massive favourites for it? It's top against bottom. You know we're on a horrendous run. You guys are unbeaten in the league. Is it kind of one of those games where you could get unstuck here by being too complacent? But is that something that James McPeak will be sort of driving into the players, that we kind of be too complacent here?
Yeah, I don't think Dunfermline ever overlook a team. It's certainly not under McPeak. I think he's fully aware that you're in this division because you deserve to be in this division. As much as 6,500 fans at the game on Saturday against Falkirk, I mean, they're the only, us and them are the only two teams that haven't returned to like the SPL era. They've all kind of came back. It's just us two are lagging behind from the last 16 teams that have returned in the Premiership era. So I think the Premier fans have kind of settled into the fact that we know where we are, and it's why we're here, because we haven't been good enough consistently for years now. And we shouldn't be looking over Peterhead, because even in the two seasons we were, the two seasons we were shared the division with you in League One a few seasons back, Peterhead always gave us a game, and I think the manager's still the manager from when it was back there, Jim McAnally. So if Dunfermline see this as a kind of easy game, I don't think there is such a thing at this level. Even if you're full-time, even if you're part-time, even if you're top of the league and Peterhead are bottom of the league, I think if you overlook any team in this division, which I think some full-time teams have been complacent of in the past, especially the time in which Dunfermline finished seventh, you will become a cropper, because there is teams that are fully capable of playing up in the Championship, and I include that down to maybe your likes of your Montroses, your Airdrieonians. All those teams could easily compete in the Championship. That league itself is not scintillating full of talent either. So if you think this is going to be an easy game, then you're sadly mistaken, and you probably should be playing if you think that's the case.
Who's been the sort of standout performer for you so far this season? You mentioned a few names, but who's the one guy maybe we should be watching out for?
I think maybe as much as like Chris Mockery is insanely talented from Dundee United on loan, obviously Todorov's nipped him a few goals as well. I think the player to really watch and pay attention to is Josh Edwards, the left back or left wing back, depending if McPake plays the 4-3-3 or the 3-5-2. Just his ability to maraud from that position and still have the kind of nous and the defensive effort to come back as well. You really get beat for pace. You really get beat for an aerial duel. Such a tenacious, hard-working player, and he can put it across. And the fact that he's added this like long throw aspect to his game as well, and caught out Callum Fordyce a couple of weeks back ago when he scored one goal against Airdrie. So I think him, if he has an off game, I think Peterhead will be able to have the chances, especially if somebody like Ryan Dow, obviously ex-Dunfermline, it kind of goes at him. I think they might get some joy. On the other side, I think that's maybe where Dunfermline are the weakest. Kevin Dawes playing in position. This kind of wing-back role he's played, he's not quite accustomed to it. He seems to be out of position a lot, and it's affected Comrie's game, who's always a kind of dependable player for the Pars the last 18 months. But it's kind of, I think him having to kind of lead him through games is having an effect on him. So if Peterhead can get down that side, I think they could have some joy. And if Edwards has an off game as well, but that's the thing as well, the team is sealed, not because of necessarily form, it's just it doesn't have the depth required. So the back four or the back five has always been the same, back four or back five, because the only players behind are the young guys or Sam Fisher, they brought from Dundee alone. So at least that's one thing I can say. It's a settled side, and they all know what their positions and they all know what they're doing. But if one or two have an off game, I could definitely see Peterhead really take it to them, because as I said, Dunfermline haven't been scoring too many goals at home.
What's the sort of general consensus amongst the Dunfermline fans with this game then? Are they expecting, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals realistically?
I think they want 3 or 4 or 5 goals, because they just need to seem to have that one win to really kick off the season,
yeah.
Especially East End Park. I'd bite your hand off for a 1-0 right now. Just 3 more points on the board, considering the fact that this month's been so truncated. Dunfermline have played twice this month because of obviously the cancellation. Mm. For the league fixtures due to the Queen's passing, and the Celtic B game in the Challenge Cup being postponed because of international call-ups. So I think Pars fans just want to get back on the see their team back in the park and get the 3 points and move on, and it even has to be a scrappy 1-0. I mean, I think the only times when we faced each other in the league, it's been quite tight. I think even this season we went up as champions, I think it was 2 draws and a 1 each. So like 1-0 is absolutely fine with me. I'd hope for 3 just to kind of kickstart the firepower up home, but no, I'd bite your hand up for a 1-0 right now.
I was going to ask you what your score prediction was going to be then. Would you take that 1-0 then?
Yeah, absolutely. Another clean sheet and just hopefully move on, because October's going to be packed with fixtures. I think Dunfermline plays 6 games. I don't know about yourself, but yeah.
Yeah, we've got 6 as well, yeah.
So it's going to be a busy period, and if the games are piling up and we're short on legs, then just you have to consistently try. I think the first half of the season play each Saturday for the first 2 or 3 weeks. So I think if you can capitalise on those games and then kick on, then absolutely great. But yeah, 3 points are vital on Saturday.
Michael, thanks very much for coming on. You guys are doing well, so it should be a good game. I think it would be a good game. Hopefully we can go down there being positive and try and get something out of it. But thanks for coming on, and I appreciate your time.
No problem, all the best.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it once again. My thanks goes to Michael Wood from That's Never 10 Yards for coming on, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.